The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom, freedom and the soul of the USA. Right here, right now, it's Independence Day. Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, who lift us and heed us, who stand for what's right and stand up to what's wrong. We must take America back, now and forever, with God in his rightful place. Then he will bless and protect the U.S. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Can you hear me? inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency.
Hello.
You should pray to God.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the National Intel Report. Today is Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. And thank you for listening tonight. This is William Rapillum coming back. Been a few weeks. Hoping to fill in for John Stapmiller and carry on his legacy in a way that he would be proud of. Speaking the truth, speaking what we've learned, and doing it without apology. Evidently, we've had some folks that didn't like what we had to say last time, and that's okay. It's perfectly fine to not like everything we have to say. But this is Republic Broadcasting, and the principle of this station, principal tenet, or the principal value of this station, is freedom of speech. And we do have some listeners out there. I think it's very few. They're more like trolls that like to, if they disagree with what we say, they like to go call other hosts and start hijack their show and don't have any respect for what they're saying on their show and start complaining about it, telling us that we need to be taken off of the air, shut down by the Biden administration even. Pretty funny, pretty antithetical to what we're about here. And we do have our limits. We don't want to limit anybody else's free speech and their opinion. But when you got people calling in, making efforts to waste your time and shut you down because they don't agree or they're not willing to go out and do the research themselves from what we've researched ourselves, we're going to be talking about some very controversial topics tonight. I have a co-host with me tonight. Before I introduce him, I'd just like to remind everybody to please go to Republic Broadcasting and hit that donate button and donate much needed funded. We are 100% listener supported, as you know, and we desperately need you to donate and keep this station alive. Keep it going so that free speech can stay alive. And we can continue to get you guys information and relay back what we've been researching. And you can call in and share what you've got. Because you listeners are the most knowledgeable and valuable listeners in the country, in my opinion. So with that, tonight I'm going to go ahead and introduce my co-host, Paul from California, a.k.a. Hunter Biden's laptop. Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, William. I'm glad to be here once again and looking forward to our discussion and then later on, I guess, interaction with callers.
Absolutely. Now, Paul and I, we don't agree about every single thing, but we agree about a lot of things. There's actually some things that we fiercely disagree about. I don't know if I can call it fiercely, but we disagree about it, kind of like certain ways of going about things. One of those things, it's like one of those topics, though. It's just like, we're so beaten into submission over this specific topic, the topic of racial injustice that actually is perpetrated against in truth against the white European peoples of the world. It seems like before you even delve into the topic of this, you always have to preface it with all of these disclaimers and things. If you happen to be white, right? If you happen to be of white European descent. But I think that I will go ahead and preface it with this. That before we do talk about this, because I have a little bit different methodology about how I approach this than Paul does. But after actually talking to Paul, I found out that, I kind of agree with what he's saying. And it's just such a shame that, like, we can't be a little bit more just straightforward and unapologetic without people's programming going off the going as John Stadmiller would say, going way the gauge going way to the right. He used it in the context of the BS meter when this particular person called in. My approach to the whole white genocide thing that's been going on for a long time now. We have been reduced from 35% of the world population in 1900 to what is it, Paul? Now it's about 7-8% now. So that's pretty alarming, and that's happened deliberately and methodically. We see that there are people that are saying that your neighborhood is too white, so it needs to be culturally enriched, needs to be made what they call more brown, I guess. So, I have nothing against black people or Mexican people or Asian people. In fact, I believe that all people should have the right to exist and have the right to be dominant in their own ethnic homelands. But evidently these groups that these NGOs and these groups that they don't think that we should exist. And when you look into the reasoning why they don't think we should exist, you see that it's because, not because we're evil or we're oppressive, it's because they're trying to cover up for the crimes they committed against, for example, the transatlantic slave trade, one of those that they did back in the 1600s, 1700s time, even Christopher Columbus time, when a bunch of those folks were kicked out of Europe, they came over here and they set up shop and they set up their enterprise called the Dutch East India Company, which was a triangle between the Netherlands, West Africa, and the West Indies. That's where it started out. And then it moved up into America through South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and then it moved up into Newport, Rhode Island. And they started rum distilleries, and they started the slave trade, and they were the brokers of the slave trade. And now, the people I'm talking about are the Zionist Jews. So that also, it's really funny, because today I was trying to explain this to somebody. And they can't. They're like, I knew somebody that was Jewish, and they were very nice, and so I can't criticize them at all. And people just can't be objective about this issue that we're facing right now. There is a war against us. It is a Jewish war against not just the white race, which seems to be the big impediment to the New World Order, but to the entire human race. And so my approach, Paul's just tired of being, what I found out, because Paul, the other day, I think you had said you identified as a white supremacist, right? I shriek at that, but then I asked you about it, and you explained to me that you're just, it's like, how those people that are like, they're constantly calling you a racist, they're constantly calling us racists, because they want us to just shut up. It's like sticking tape over our mouth, calling us a racist, and then hopefully we'll just shut up and go away and die like they're trying to make us do. And so Paul's like, well, fine, call me a white supremacist. So it's not really, I don't know. So I'll let you speak on this, Paul. You know, I've been going for a while here, and I know that you have a lot that you want to get off your chest. Did you have like a little bit that you want to just talk about this specific thing before we go out? We're going to talk about some other stuff too. We're going to double down on the things that we were told we're not allowed to talk about tonight, which is virology. We're going to talk about the virus fraud. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the science behind it. But let me kick it over to you, Paul, and you just, you know, let's learn comment on what's been said thus far.
Okay, so I'm now officially unleashed.
Yes, Paul.
I'll try not to bite anybody. I may bark a little bit. So yeah, the reason I was looking forward to coming on with you was to continue the discussion on virus in the context of the, shall we say, the broader landscape of what we're looking at, to address particularly what you just mentioned, and I wasn't sure if or when you were going to mention that. But to me, it's always been pretty straightforward and simple. I just say what it is I think, right, and let people's reactions dictate where the conversation will go. But I try to not be offensive about it because, in my opinion, our minds have been manipulated. They've tried to hijack our very vocabulary or lexicon, a lot of people would say, and to frame the debate in their terms. So as long as I can remember, when anybody has ever accused me of being a racist or a white supremacist, I say, yeah, that's correct. You know, if they want to talk about it, I'm perfectly capable to, you know, to get into details. The only reason I say some of these things, though, I must admit, is to irritate people. I've enjoyed that for a very long time, way before I became, shall we say, awake. I was just one of those people where if I could get a rise out of you for some reason or another, I might just go ahead and do that. We could call that a flaw, if you like. But the term white supremacism is deliberately designed to shut down any debate and to basically say you're not a good person. That's really what it means, to say you're bad, say you're evil, to essentially negate any argument you might bring forward in support of your position. It's just a name and a label. But in my way of thinking, if you are a group, and they want to pretend we don't exist, and at the same time, they want to label us for all the ills of the world. You know, I mean, if you recall, and I'm not sure, I know there's a little bit of an age difference between us, but there was a time where they were pushing this idea that race is just a social construct, and that I actually saw articles and phrases here and there about, well, races don't really exist, white people don't really exist, and things of that nature. It's just unreal. But returning quickly to this idea of so-called white supremacism, we should be able to rule and control our own territory, our own land. William Pierce said so prophetically when I first started listening to his lectures that in order for us to be sovereign and to control our destiny, we must take and hold territory and exclude others. That's just pretty simple, straightforward. Now, you wouldn't go telling people in Japan that they were Japanese supremacists if they wanted to exclude Koreans or Chinese or Nigerians from their land, just like you really wouldn't go to Sweden and say they're Swedish supremacists because they don't want to import all sorts of Somalis or Arabs. But that's exactly what the Jews are doing to Sweden. They're not really doing it to Japan, but they're doing it to all white countries. They're putting a label on you for you objecting to your own destruction and demise. And make no mistake, importing large numbers of people that are not you, okay, and that reproduce at much greater rates than you is, in the end, a complete and total destruction of your country, your culture, and your race.
They came and took it all away.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Okay, folks, we're back. If you guys are still there listening to us, you guys are awesome. And we're going to continue with this discussion. And I have some points I want to add to what Paul's saying. And Paul, why don't you go ahead and finish up? Then we're going to play you guys a few clips from some of the folks just so you can see. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have heard some of these, but we're going to play them again to prove what we're saying. So go ahead, Paul.
Okay, I'll do the best I can. It's a big landscape, but just to finish kind of where I was going and the point I'm making. So again, we're being manipulated on every single level you can imagine. And the goal essentially is our destruction. We have to have that clear in our minds. There are actually people on this network. There are hosts, co-hosts, and callers who, for whatever reason, either don't want to acknowledge Jewish hegemony or Jewish hegemonic power, or they want to pretend it doesn't exist. I mean, it's only the 800-pound elephant in the room, and yet I hear such things as, well, they're not all Jewish, okay, over and over again. It's just, I heard a phrase the other night, which I think I'd like to address later, but a guest on a show that I enjoy, a show that I respect, and a host that I enjoy and respect, and this guest said, when they were getting into the Jewish so-called question, which in actuality the Germans termed a problem, the Jewish problem, because it is indeed a problem, it's not a question. This guest said, King Leonidas didn't go to Thermopylae because they were Persian. He went there because they were being invaded. And I remember hearing that and going, what? What the heck are you talking about? I mean, literally, you talk about a non sequitur that makes no sense. And it's just more, how should I say, apology making for the people that are involved. I could give probably five examples off the top of my head of how that's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. But there it was. And this same person, of course, brought out the old not all argument. And we could spend the next couple of generations talking about not all, meanwhile, while we're destroyed. So what I really quickly meant, again, when I say such things as white supremacism, all it really means is that we're in control and we're in power. And right now, there's no question that we're not in control and that we're not in power. That's the problem. By being in control or in power, that means that we make the rules. We make the laws. We make the rules. We control all our own systems. We control our system of government. We control our system of money and finance. We control our system of medicine. We're in control. Everybody else is our guest. There's nothing wrong with that, and believe me, millions upon millions upon millions of people would choose to stay if they're given those terms, because white people historically are quite altruistic, and many people will say that they prefer to live under a government or any nation that is run predominantly by white people. So I think we can dispense with this white supremacist nonsense for the moment. I have more to say on the greater Jewish landscape, some points to make. But, William, you want to play a clip or two?
Yeah. Shoot. Yeah, so sorry, I was on mute. So I wanted to add to what you were saying there, Paul, just some really important points. And I want to drive home the fact that it's just really ironic that we're called white supremacists. Because simply when we don't own the banks, we don't own the media, we don't own anything anymore. And it's because of the fact that we have operated in such a fair way and we have trusted the good nature of all people and we've been so welcoming to people of other cultures and races. But the most toxic, and that's fine, you know, and I actually do want to have some diversity. I don't want to have an overwhelming amount of diversity where it means that we're going to be wiped off the face of the earth, which is exactly what's happening. That is the trajectory that's happening. You have these Jewish NGOs that are forcing immigrants up into Europe after they started these wars over there, these Zionist wars, using proxies. You know, America's their henchman, their proxy. And then sending the people whose homes they've destroyed over there up into Europe, right? And then for the most part, those folks probably think it's we deserve it because we're the ones that came to their country and destroyed them, right? And so nobody really can see the hidden hand. No, not nobody, but a lot of people, probably the majority of people, they don't see the hidden hand because the hidden hand controls the media. And that's why we're here. We're here to offset that and bring a balance back and help people, you know, see the real truth of what's going on. You know, when I first discovered it, it became like my life's imperative. My whole life changed in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, I was playing and I was falling into the trap of, you know, the degeneracy. Oh, we're up against another break, folks. So I'm going to finish my thought when we come back and play a few clips. Stick around, guys.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Okay, we're back, folks. We're at the bottom of the hour on the National Intel Report, John Stadtmiller Show. This is William Rapillum filling in with my co-host, Paul from California. So, we're just kind of talking about what we're talking about. So I want to continue with some clips. I'm going to play you the clip from Barbara Lerner Specter. About 1 minute long, and she talks about it's pretty evil. I consider this woman to be an absolute witch. So if you just listen to what she's saying and sort of the thoughts behind the Jewish supremacist genocide agenda against the white race and the European people, something we all need to start talking about more, then I think you'll get an idea from this clip. All right, go ahead.
As we heard, there are people in Sweden who support Israel and have a deep sense of the injustice of the present situation. It's these people who give hope to those who still believe that things will get better here. One of them is Barbara Spector, a former American who made Aliyah and then, 10 years ago, with the help of the government of Sweden, set up a non-denominational institute of Jewish learning with the Greek name of Paideia, here in Stockholm. She believes the current wave of anti-Semitism in Sweden will pass, and that Jews have an important role to play in a country undergoing profound change.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Can I? Do you want me to go?
Do we need to play that again? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Should I?
It must take place. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
So I think David Duke had the best reaction when he played that clip on one of his videos years ago. And he said, "You're damn right we resent it." I mean, imagine the nerve of this woman, not even Swedish, okay, but an American, okay, and a Jew, going to Sweden to set up this, or to be part of this operation, if you will, and then telling the Swedish people on, apparently that was a television interview of some sort, that, hey, get used to it. It's got to take place. And if it doesn't take place, you won't survive. Imagine that. Now, the last thing I'll say before I toss it back to you, William, is that you can watch all the clips you want of how Swedish people feel. Well, you can't watch all you want. There's not as many as some other nations. But what is going on in that country? And I just watched one just last night, and it was a Swedish man being interviewed, and it was about what happened to his 19-year-old son. And he basically said, if I had a daughter, I would follow her around with a loaded shotgun. He said his 19-year-old son has been robbed and mugged twice, once by Somalis and once by Arabs. And he doesn't think that his son is ever going to enjoy going out again. Now, he'll probably get over it because he's only 19. But his take was, when I was growing up, I remember all these areas and these suburbs and what they were like, and they're being destroyed. And this is a Swedish man being interviewed not that long ago, as the recent video put up. So this is what's taking place. And by the way, it's not the white supremacists that are doing the mugging. So my take has been the same. We better stop being afraid to be called names. We better stop being afraid to be racist, or we're finished. I've not been afraid, nor will I ever be afraid to be a racist. Go ahead, William. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's, this racist term is a Jewish sort of term that they use to invert the truth about what they're doing. Because in all truth, the doctrine that's in the Talmud is the most, what would be called racist doctrine in all of humanity. There is no more people that are more racist than the Jews that of the Talmud. And so, this is, I don't know, folks. I mean, I just don't really see anything any more blatant than that woman saying what she's saying. And Paul, you express it beautifully. So we got some other clips too we want to get through. The next one is, and that clip was from 2006, by the way. And that was sort of, I think, when, the mass immigration has been happening for a long time, but they really ramped it up in the last 5 years or so. And, I mean, it is at a critical level. I mean, the I think folks, think that it's just bring a few people, it makes it more interesting, And to a degree, that's true, but not when it's in this mass numbers and these millions of people that they're bringing over there. It is a genocide. And we are being hogtied and put into a rear naked choke, as you'd say in MMA,
and thank God the Jews are there to teach us, right?
Yeah, I mean, just the supremacism of that. Yeah, this must take place, and why must it take place? It must take place because when you dig into it, it must take place because they're trying to kill us all before we discover what they've actually done. The racist, the genocides that they've committed over the past century, and in effect, it's just snowballed. It's been an effort then to try to keep us from figuring out the crimes they've committed. I mean, we knew very well when we were in Europe, before America was even started, we were very aware of the problem because we had been around it forever, you know, for all of our history. Now we come over here, they created television and the media and everything, and they've distracted us and brainwashed us like we've never been, and they set up shop like they've never set it up before.
And real quickly, before you go to your next clip, another comment I will make is this. Yeah, of course, the colossal nerve or the chutzpah of these people, but there's this underlying presumption, number one, that they are in some way, shape, or form, elevated and or qualified to teach us these lessons, but also the underlying presumption is that we don't have anything worth preserving, okay? If they're going to completely overturn the social order and the culture and the government and the demographics and everything, the crime that goes along with it, they act that like that's going to be better. And the presumption is what we have, such as a peaceful, high-trust, homogenous society, that's nothing worth preserving, according to the Jews. And I object to that, obviously.
Yeah, okay. That's really well said, Paul. I appreciate that. And that's very true. That's very true. So let's go on to the next clip. It's Noel Ignatieff, the Jewish Harvard professor. Harvard professor, that's the place where you go to get completely indoctrinated. If you go to Harvard, you send your kid to Harvard or any other schools, you can say goodbye to them because they're going to come back out a brainwashed, indoctrinated fool. So, sorry. No, I'm not sorry. But yeah, don't spend all your money sending your kids to Harvard. All right, anyway, so let's listen to this clip.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate, not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know if we got cut off or the video it ended there. So, yep. Well, there you go. That's just one of many professors spewing out that hateful, toxic crap onto your kids that go to Harvard or go to any school, really. I mean, they took over academia decades ago. World War II, ever since World War II, America has been in massive decline. World War II is the single greatest tragedy of human history. You can go and look at what General Patton said. Patton said, we defeated the wrong enemy. We should have sided with the Germans and gone into Russia and taken out the communists. Well, I mean, come on, folks. We sided with the Soviet Union, which had been taken over by Jewish communists in the 1917, in the Bolshevik Revolution, funded by the Wall Street bankers of the United States and Germany and other parts of the world, bankrolled the communism. The big banks are for communism. And that's the big dichotomy. They're big supporters of Karl Marx. We've got the New York Times celebrating Karl Marx's birthday in 2018, his 100th birthday. Karl Marx was another Jew. All of these, 85% of the commissars of the Soviet Union were Jews, including Trotsky, Lenin. Stalin was married to a Jewess, and whose brother was Lazar Kaganovich, who was his right-hand man, who presided over the murders, the Holodomor. His underling was... Now the NKVD was the police at that time, the NKVD. First it was the Cheka after Lenin and Trotsky. Cheka. Then it was the NKVD. Then it was the KGB. All right. Russia's been through this now. They've been through this now. And now it's happening here in America. The same thing. Yuri Bezmenov warned us about it. This is great. You got to check out Yuri Bezmenov if you haven't listened to him yet. He came over, he defected from Russia, and he said, you can tell everybody all this information, and they're not going to listen to you until the boot is on their neck. Well, the boot's on our neck, folks. The COVID boot. The monkeypox boot. You know, that's why we're trying to dissect this virology hoax, because this medical boot is very, very powerful. The fear that they can put into us, making us think that we're going to pass pathogens around to each other. It's deep. This is a tough one, you guys. We are really up against it with this subject. Paul and I are trying to just discuss it. And there's people that listen to our station that are trying to shut us down and trying to stop us from getting this information out that we've researched. Hundreds of hours that we've researched into this. So we're not going to quit. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't disagree with most of what you said here. I would just say, let's not mischaracterize what a few people in terms of, I really don't think, well, I don't know. I mean, if they had their wishes, would we have been shut down? You know, that's a point you're making. I was just going to say, I don't really think they're, quote, trying to shut us down. But on the other hand, who knows what they really want? I mean, this person that we're referring to, Dave from New York, he did say that. He did actually say those words. So we're gonna have an inquisition about him sometime on Richard's show, I think, hopefully. But
didn't you already?
No, not an inquisition. We would basically have him on and ask a series of questions and see if he might be allowed back on the air. I thought that would be a fun exercise, but I don't want to get you
so
diverted.
He'll have a lot of fun with that word, inquisition. He'll probably go back and call somebody else's show and start crying about that one for sure, Paul.
Right.
Not that right. He wasn't good about it, but Mike, do you have that clip handy? Richard Carey, and don't let me forget to give Richard the credit for having put together this this little medley. First, it's a clip of Dave calling into John Moore's show and hijacking it. They're talking about something completely different. He just calls in and just goes off on this tangent about himself and wah, about him being blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, let's play that. And then it goes into when he called into John Stabmiller and what John Stabmiller said to him. So, you know, we're not crazy here, folks.
How can you tolerate this on RBN? I mean, this is the utter misinformation. It should be shut down by the Biden administration.
Okay.
We need to eliminate stupidity and untruth from RBN, or just shut it down.
I've been doing this for 30 years, you know what? And I've developed this good BS meter. And right now it's pegging all the way to the right. You tried the same stuff with me last week. Thank you. I don't know why you listen to this program. Why do you listen to this network? I don't know who this guy is or what he thinks he's trying to do here. And by the way, do me a favor. I don't want this guy on my show again. I've just had enough of it. That's why I just banned him from my show. Here's a guy, and I don't know what this guy thinks he's shoveling, but he can go shovel it someplace else. He's not wasting any more of my time. Ed, I don't ban people from my show. I don't take that lightly. And how did I know he was going to go right back to the CDC? Because that's this guy's mission. That's his agenda.
We're going to go to Dave in New York. Hello, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Richard Carey had a show on today, and he had some very good clips from me in the past. This show is basically about Dave, it seems like. They started out saying that there was this gay guy talking about Paul. He liked to talk about Paul, so they're referring to him as a gay guy. Then they progress to saying the guy is like a Jew. They're suggesting he's a Jew. And this is all talking about Dave New York.
Mm-hmm.
But
Okay. And I think we just lost him. All right. Well, there we are.
It should be shut down by the Biden administration. It should be shut down by the Biden administration.
Good job, Richard. That was a really great clip you threw together there.
No, that was tight. The only thing we missed was when Dave called the J.R. Moore Show in the morning, and you know my name, Paul, came out of his mouth a couple of times. And, you know, I got up and I started laughing, and I'm the one, I'm raising my hand. I take credit for referring to Dave as gay on Richard Carey's show, suggesting he had an infatuation with me.
Yeah, okay, tell us about that when we get back. All right, and then we'll take some calls. Right. So stick around, folks. Right back.
Liberty Minute. The Department of Education announced another $3.9 billion in student loan cancellation yesterday. That brings Biden's student loan cancellation total to $32 billion in less than 2 years. Let's be honest, though. It's not loan forgiveness or debt cancellation. It is handouts of tax money to a privileged few. I never took a single college credit. I own my house and 3 cars, and I've never been unemployed. I have paid taxes to the federal government for 35 years. It is my money that was loaned out. Now it is my money Biden says doesn't have to be paid back. I didn't sign the loan paperwork. I didn't get the benefits of education. I shouldn't have to pay for it. This is the worst face slap to the working class that I've ever seen. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we're back, folks. So I'm going to read a real controversial thing here. Some of you might get all mad and hang up. I hope you don't. I got to find it here in my pictures. It's an excerpt from a writer who wrote about Dave in New York many years ago. So before I tell you who it is or what it's from, I'm just going to actually read it to you. because it describes this guy in great detail. It is just really well said. And so I'm going to go ahead and read it. All right. So it's like this. The more I debated with them, the more familiar I became with their argumentative tactics. At the outset, they counted on the stupidity of their opponents. But when they got so entangled that they could not find a way out, they played the trick of acting as innocent simpletons. Should they fail, in spite of their tricks of logic, they acted as if they could not understand the counter-arguments and bolted away to another field of discussion. They would lay down truisms and platitudes, and if you accepted these, then they were applied to other problems and matters of an essentially different nature from the original theme. If you faced them with this point, they would escape again, and you could not bring them to make any precise statement. Whenever one tried to get a firm grip on any of these apostles, one's hand grasped only jelly and slime, which slipped through the fingers and combined again into a solid mass a moment afterwards. That's my favorite part of this whole paragraph. If your adversary felt forced to give you your argument, to give in to your argument, on account of the observers present, and if you then thought that at last you had gained ground, a surprise was in store for you on the following day. The Jew would be utterly oblivious to what had happened the day before, and he would start once again by repeating his former absurdities, as if nothing had happened. Okay, I think that's what John Stapp...
Looks like William's having a little connection issue right there.
Hello, William.
If you got anything to say there, Paul, we're about to go to break at the top of the hour, but we lost William's connection. So if you want to wrap anything up or tease anything for the second hour, we're about to have the music starting in.
Well, I guess the only thing I would say wrapping it up is stay tuned. We're going to get into viruses and virology in the second hour and take your calls if anybody wants to call. Sorry for the technical issues, everybody.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.